You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It is Into Tomorrow, just like the announcer dude said, for the weekend of Friday the 13th of March 2020. And I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Horatio working with the show, handling the posts and doing the research and taking good care of our audience, as well as Erasmo handling the editing. Not that he ever has to edit anything we do or say or mess up, because we don't mess up, do we?
No, never.
Ever. But he's also handling all of the audio to make sure that we sound good. And boy, that's a job in and of itself. To get us to sound good, especially Chris with a cold. Not coronavirus. It's just a common cold that he's at the tail end of.
I have the Heineken virus.
Okay. Maybe Coors Light.
Yeah.
It's just a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
my mountains are blue.
Oh, God. Oh, gosh. Rollable, not foldable phones are getting ready to roll. See what I did there? A lot of people are looking for the next big thing in mobile phone design, so maybe a rollable screen just might be it. While TCL's rollable phone might get all the buzz, the company's foldable tablet seems like a more practical device. Stay tuned into tomorrow, and we'll see. We'll let you know, especially if we can get our hands on any of these rollable phones. We'll talk about them. And we'll let you know whether or not they make any sense. But like anything else with tech, you frequently don't want to get the first of anything.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be the guinea pig. Not only will you pay the most for it, but you don't know if it's going to work well. So don't depend on it until others have bought it.
Yeah, that's been my policy.
Yeah, make sure I get it first. Except for Apple devices.
Because
I don't get them.
But that's why you've never, in the 25 years we've been doing the show, you've never heard me complain that I always get your hand-me-downs when a company sends you a new product to test out. I'm like, that's great, because I'll let you go through all the stress of something not working. That way, when you get something new to replace it, I will by then know if it's something I want to inherit from you or not.
You know, come to think of it, maybe that's not such a great idea for me. I should make you the official evaluator, tester, reviewer, and then you can simply tell us if we like it or not.
No, I don't like that idea.
Oh, I thought that was going to happen. See, not only will you not sit in the big chair, as we call it, but you won't handle that responsibility.
No.
You just want the hand-me-downs.
I just want it all handed to me.
Boy, that's the truth.
Google sent a memo to all of its North America-based employees recommending that they work from home until at least April 10th.
Don't get outbreak. Any ideas.
Yeah, I already tried. It doesn't work. Google had previously told employees in the San Francisco Bay Area, Dublin, and Seattle to work from home. Google offices will remain open to workers if they have to be physically present for their job.
Why would they have to be physically present?
I don't know.
Maybe because it's a free cafeteria, free snack.
Maybe.
Bar, free high-speed internet.
Maybe.
That could be.
CEO Sundar Pichai also urged people to, quote, contribute to social distancing. I've been contributing to social distancing for years.
That's because you're antisocial.
In fact, I even said a couple weeks ago that I think I'm going to self-quarantine, not because of coronavirus, just because I'm over people right now.
Yeah. Chris is shy.
That's shy. I'm just not a people person. I used to be a people person until people ruined it for me.
Those darn people.
Exactly.
The nerve. But yeah, you definitely shy away from people.
I just like my own company more than I like others.
That's pretty sad. And then he talks to Siri, and then he talks to Alexa.
Well, no, I yell at Siri because she doesn't ever hear what I
But you have conversations
but I talk to Alexa.
With Alexa. Pretty sad.
Because I'm testing the features.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, so you are evaluating the features and things like that.
Yeah.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Thank you. It's good to know that.
That's one of the things she tells you?
Yes.
But also, apparently, Siri talks to you as well, but you yell back at her.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Because, you know, I'm like that guy, and I think it's an AT&T commercial, you know, for their internet, where he's yelling at the smart speaker that's not hearing him. Because I find myself doing that to Siri a lot, because I always do the, hey, Siri, and she doesn't respond. And, hey, Siri, hey, Siri! And sometimes I still don't get a response.
But do you always get a response when you push her button?
Yes.
What does that tell you?
That Siri sucks.
Yeah. Okay. Or that she's just not recognizing your voice. Is it when you've had a cold the last week that she's not responding?
It's always.
It's just always? Yeah. Well, see, at least Google.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Oh, thanks. I thought we had the male voice for Google because that's how we keep them separated here in the studios. That didn't sound like the male voice.
I don't know.
We need to fix that.
Okay, make that happen.
This week in tech history. History, history,
history, history. That's when you didn't have a cold.
Yeah.
Well, oh, all right. Let me see. Researchers in Australia are working with ionic fluid liquid, a new variety of electrolyte material, with hopes of using it to make lithium-ion batteries safer so they won't explode. Apparently, they will also be more efficient. So I think both of those advantages are pretty cool. The ionic liquid electrolytes also allow the batteries to cycle lithium metal electrodes, which haven't been commonly used in batteries, but they think that that's going to be a way to solve various and sundry battery problems. This, by the way, in Australia.
I wonder if they'll be able to use those in electric cars, because that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that these electric cars, they get into an accident, they can catch fire just because of the batteries, and they can continue to catch fire for weeks and months.
That's very true, because they tend to explode.
Yeah.
But if these things with ionic liquid electrolytes won't explode, there you go. That may very well be a solution. So I hope they keep working on that, because not only will it save lives, but it'll help batteries to hopefully last longer, be more efficient, etc. We'll stay on that for you as well. As part of their continued effort to avoid a repeat of the incursions that ensnarled Gatwick Airport in late 2018, you might recall, officials at Heathrow Airport, where I was supposed to actually go like in another 2 weeks, to an event in Cyprus, connecting to Cyprus from London's Heathrow, but that's been canceled also. Wow. Anyway, they say they've developed a new system to detect and identify unauthorized drones. The counter-drone system uses a holographic radar system to not only detect drones, but also locate their pilots. So that's kind of cool. They can ascertain the drone in the air, but also who's controlling it on the ground, where they are. So I think that counter-drone system is going to be utilized in very many airports if it works well at Heathrow.
Yeah. And speaking of cancellations, there's been another big trade show canceled as a result of this COVID-19.
And it relates to our business.
Yes, this is one that we talked about last week that was still on as of last week. But this past Wednesday, the NAB show sent out a tweet. In light of the current public health emergency, both domestically and globally, it is clear that it would not be possible to hold the NAB show in April as planned.
That's the National Association of Broadcasters, yes. NAB.
So they're saying they're evaluating a number of alternatives to the April show.
Darn. Another show that I wasn't going to go to anyway, but now I can't.
Yeah. Now, there have been a lot of talk about a lot of these shows trying to turn change into like a digital show, like sort of like an online show. So I guess we'll wait and see if that's what's going to happen.
Well, that's something that a lot of big convention centers don't want to hear.
Yeah,
and look at the big expansion at the biggest convention center, Las Vegas. They're adding huge additional halls. And imagine if more and more people and more trade shows say it's just not been effective, and because of coronavirus, and look, we still, everybody still managed to get business done, but without having to come here and network in person. So they're going to just maybe not do it again, and they're going to be a whole bunch of empty halls in the future.
They're expanding that one. They just did a big expansion in Berlin at the Messe Berlin Fairgrounds. They just finished renovating and expanding the one here locally in Miami Beach. So.
Yep. Wow. And, I mean, back in Vegas, Caesars and a couple of other big hotels also built separate off-prem convention centers as well, because so many people were needing conventions, but not so much. I mean, this is showing, unfortunately, a lot of trade shows that you have to wonder, are they necessary? I mean, certainly the ones that we broadcast from are, and that's why we go, because they're so good, but not all of them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I did catch pink eye one year at CES. So, and I, when I was at the walk-in clinic at the Walgreens there.
Yeah, but you got that from Shapiro, yeah, I'm sure.
Probably the nurse practitioner told me that, you know, this was early in the week still, and she said, "You're already the fifth case I've had this week." And apparently that year, it was like 3 or 4 years ago, there was a huge outbreak of pink eye even at CES.
Wow, and that's very contagious.
Yeah.
Treatable, of course, and not lethal generally, and things of that sort, but painful. You were not a happy camper.
And especially since I got it early in the week. You know, I'm in Vegas. It's not like I can go back home and lay down. I'm still in the booth. We're doing the work. I'm just trying to not shake hands with our guests. And, you know, from a distance, wave to people.
And they're looking at him and going, oh, what's wrong with Chris?
I just tried telling people, allergies out here. You know?
Yeah, desert allergies. Just one eye.
Yeah.
It didn't go over too well. But at least you survived, I think. Did you?
Somewhat.
Did you survive? All right. But, yeah, true. You don't have that issue, though, if everybody just does a webinar or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I still think that most of the trade shows, certainly the ones we attend still these days, are worthy of great networking. You want to touch and feel products after they've wiped them down. I mean, now there's all these asterisks that have to be applied to the things that you'll do if you go to a trade show.
They're going to have to bring back the, you know, I know this is a term that a lot of people don't like, the booth babes that they have outlawed at these shows, just so that they can have, with the sanitizing wipes, to wipe them products down after people have seen
them. The booth babes will not be displaying product. They'll just be wiping everything down, including the counters and railings and anything that you might be bellying up to a counter to look at something. Oh, excuse me. Got to wipe it all down. And wait, don't touch that. I haven't sanitized it yet.
I'm sure I'm going to get some emails after that.
Yeah, you probably will, but what can I say?
A SpaceX cargo ship arrived at the International Space Station this week, delivering the company's 20th batch of gear and treats. The Dragon capsule reached the orbiting lab after launching late Friday night. NASA astronauts Andrew Morgan and Jessica Meir used the station's robot arm to capture the spacecraft. The 4,300-pound shipment contains science experiments and equipment, as well as special goodies for the three-person crew.
Goodies.
Grapefruit, tomatoes, Skittles, Reese's Pieces, and Hot Tamales candies.
So these are all things that the crew obviously asked for. I don't think they just arbitrarily send those items.
Right.
It's like, what would you like? Oh, I would love hot tamales and this and that. Okay. And they go around and collect them for them.
Most illogical.
This is the last of SpaceX's original style Dragons. All future ones are designed to carry either cargo or crew and will dock automatically rather than require robot arm assistance. SpaceX has been sending up station cargo since 2012 and plans to start launching NASA astronauts this spring.
Oh, very cool. Well, and I hope they do, because we need to not be dependent on Russia anymore to get our astronauts up there. And if they're able to do this with supplies and they're testing properly, especially there was a recent test that apparently was very successful for the astronaut escape hatch or something of that sort, right? Escape module, I believe it was. And that's important, obviously, if we're going to carry humans. A hot tamale can get destroyed, and no big problem, except their craving is going to still be there until we can get some more hot tamales for them. But in the meantime, we need to be getting our own astronauts to and from the space station.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing how the space travel has progressed. I found it was a documentary from a few years ago, but I happened to find it on Hulu this past week. It was called "The Day We Went to the Moon," and it was a whole background on the moon mission. And I didn't realize how many things they had contingencies for everything. There were two speeches written for the president, one to deliver in the event that it was a successful mission, and they read excerpts from the speech that was written in case they didn't make it.
And, wow.
And, you know, we've even said before on the show that a little tech trivia thing that they couldn't get life insurance, the astronauts that went to the moon.
So
what they did is they signed pictures of themselves to leave with their families so that if something happened to them, they could sell them and get money.
No insurance company would sell them life insurance.
Yeah.
But now that's not an issue.
Right.
But holy cow, that's spooky. Sad, too, actually. Yeah. Donald in Tyler, Texas, listens on KTBB. Welcome into tomorrow, Donald.
What are the best top-load washing machines with steam?
Okay. Well, let's see. I guess it's a tech question because
If IFA shows off appliances, we can talk about appliances.
We absolutely can. And we do hear good things, Donald, about GE's high-efficiency top-loading line with steam. You can find models for around $550 that load around 4 cubic feet, if that's what you're looking for. Now, for around $750, you can get a well-reviewed, larger Samsung long convoluted model number, trust me, which we'll have at intotomorrow.com, which you can wash a load of 5.4 cubic feet in one go. So if you got a lot of dirty clothes, that might work for you. Now, if you like smart appliances, LG also has a well-reviewed unit. It loads slightly more than 5.5 cubic feet. But it's hard to imagine that the Wi-Fi will make a price tag of $1,200 truly worth it, because that's what you're going to have to spend for LG, which doesn't stand for life's good. It's Lucky Goldstein, in spite of whatever their stupid commercials say. Now, then again, Samsung makes modern models that are not smart and cost the same amount of money. So if it's in your budget, it may at least be worth a look for you.
Yeah. Now, the truth is that it's pretty hard to find a washing machine with steam or otherwise with truly bad reviews, since very few people bother to review their units 5 years down the road when something might break. So we'd recommend an established brand with a decent warranty over anything new and gimmicky. Most washing machines do a reasonably good job these days. It's pretty mature technology by now.
That's true. So the only thing with new tech would be if it's Wi-Fi connected to alert your phone, for example, if you're away from where you could hear the beeps when the washing machine or the dryer is done. Those are new things that have been added that can send you a text message or something. Beyond that, you know, I don't think we have any cameras in the units yet or anything like that. So not a whole lot of tech.
In fact, that's one of the things I was yelling at Siri for the other day when I was trying to get to respond, because I put the clothes in the washing machine and then my phone's in the other room. So I'll yell out, you know, hey, Siri, remind me in 45 minutes to transfer the laundry, because otherwise I'll forget because I don't have these. Now she works.
She might be reminded of that.
So you were complaining that she wasn't listening to you, and there she's going to remind you in 45 minutes about the laundry, and then you're going to wonder what laundry. I'm in the studio.
But that's because I have one of those old low-tech machines that doesn't have Wi-Fi or alerts.
But doesn't it beep?
Mine doesn't even beep.
Really?
Yes. I got a cheap one.
And you certainly don't want to leave wet or damp clothes in the washer.
I've had to constantly rewash clothes with vinegar. That's why I always have Siri remind me to transfer the laundry.
Because then damp clothes get mildewy and smell damp. And, it's embarrassing if you put a shirt on and didn't realize it.
I had to throw away a couple loads of towels in the past because I just couldn't wash them over and over again, and they still smell.
So Siri is saving the day, you're saying? By reminding you 45 minutes from now to transfer your clothes to the dryer. I hope, Donald, that we've addressed your concern. Not so high-tech, but then again, kind of high-tech, because there are newer units with steam yet. Wow, I bet you get your clothes much cleaner if you want to use steam with it. Intotomorrow.com. I know what. Let's meet there.
This is an important announcement for anyone who wants health insurance, even if you miss the deadline. Right now, you can get the health insurance you and your family need from top insurance providers, even if you have pre-existing conditions or no insurance at all. The Plus Benefits Health Insurance toll-free number has been extended to help anyone who wants health insurance coverage now, or if you need a better plan or a lower price. Call Plus Benefits Health Insurance now at 800-332-1993. The call is 100% free and the help is real. Call 800-332-1993. That's 800-332-1993.
Good
learn, I like. Thank you.
No, thank you, June in White Oak. I love that. Short and sweet. We appreciate your congratulatory note as well. Thank you for joining us on Into Tomorrow.
It's time for our Info History feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past.
Here's Chris Graveline.
IFA, Chris with a cold, his history. IFA history.
At the International Funkausstellung in 1989, known these days as IFA, Thompson had a 10,000-square-foot booth to demonstrate future technologies and presented the first prototype of a CD recorder named MOD, Magneto-Optical Disc. With MOD developed in Germany, for the first time it was possible to record on a CD using phase-shift technology. At the same IFA show, LaserVision video discs by Philips had their world premiere and were first introduced to the U.S. soon after as a test market.
Wow.
That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
And if all goes well, fingers and eyes crossed, this will be our 18th year, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Broadcasting from IFA in Berlin.
Well, we'll still go there and do the show, even if we're the only two people in the convention center.
Well, that'll be weird. It'll be echoey. Let's meet at intotomorrow.com. Will we? Yes.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value, some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline with another reminder, although I'm sure you already have it, that our brand new free updated Into Tomorrow app is available for you. So connect with us, won't you? Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow, and snag it. You'll know it's the right thing because I think it says Graveline Electronics, Inc. or something, you know, so as the producer of it. And by all means, you get some tech news. You can watch our ITTV videos anytime. You can hear the show 24/7. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping. We'll help you. Whatever the case. And most importantly, you can easily participate on the program using the app. And you sound like you're right here in the studio with us, as long as you send us your message in a quiet area. And we'd love to hear from you. Consumer Reports, of course, is a nonprofit member organization that works side by side with consumers for truth, transparency, and fairness in the marketplace. And they're always coming out with great articles, product reviews, all sorts of things that we like to share with you, our audience. For example, best deals for the holidays on consumer tech and all sorts of things. Joining us now, senior tech writer with Consumer Reports is Nicholas DeLeon. Nicholas, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. We always enjoy promoting what you guys do. You work very hard at it, and you're not only the product reviews are really cool, but I love a great article about top tech gifts, of course. And since that's what we cover, it's always great to get your take. So tell me a little bit about the current issue and some of the digging you guys did, and then let's get into some of the details.
Yeah, well, the holidays are coming up, and so our issue on the stands right now is kind of looking at some of the, some of the best tech gifts for, you know, for that person in your life who, you know, needs a new pair of headphones or could use a new tablet or, you know, if they just need a new printer. You know, printers are not necessarily the most exciting thing, but we all kind of need at least one. So, you know, we kind of took a look at some of the better ones out there and highlighted some of the best deals that we could find.
And it's very cool that you say that, you know, for those in your life, the techies especially, but really, it's anybody. As you say, we all need at least one printer. I mean, I'm looking around and looking through the window in the control room. I think there's three in there alone. You know, whatever happened to that paperless society we were promised 20 years ago?
Yes.
That didn't happen. But yeah, exactly. Not so much a sexy product, but something you need. So then, of course, you offer up some of the best deals on printers. And does that mean that you put several of them through their paces and print a bunch of stuff and
oh, yeah.
Really get into detail as to how they work or don't in some cases.
Yeah, it's actually kind of incredible the amount of rigor that we put into testing everything, whether that's printers, whether that's, you know, refrigerators for printers specifically. You know, we print, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages across all different models, you know, making sure that the ink comes out clearly and not smudged, making sure that, you know, there's no fading, making sure that there's no jams, you know, testing how long the ink lasts. You know, printer ink is not exactly cheap nowadays, so folks, you know, it helps to have an idea of how much this thing is going to cost you in the long run. So, yeah, we kind of put them through their paces and really test them.
Yeah, I think by now most of us realize the last few years especially that printers are so cheap because that's not their goal. It's like, yeah, fine, get the printer. Get it for next to nothing. We make a fortune on the ink. And that's, of course, where it comes in, where it's important to know that you've got a good printer you can count on because it really becomes an investment, not so much financially, but for everything you got to do for it subsequently.
Yeah, it's very similar to the razor blades models where they'll sell you the razor for relatively cheap, but the blades, you know, you're on the hook for the blades for a while. And so the printer itself may be cheap, but, you know, the ink may be a little bit more expensive, and you're paying for ink, you know, depending how long, you know, how often you print, you know, whether you got kids who are constantly printing out book reports and things like that. But it does help to give folks an idea of, you know, how much is the, sort of the total cost of ownership of this device going to be over the, you know, and you hope to keep a printer for a while. No one wants to, it's not like a phone where you buy a printer every year or every other year. You want to hang on to it for, you know, 5-6 years easily. Yeah. So we do help to kind of highlight how, you know, what it'll cost in the long run.
And I can hear my listeners screaming at me in my head saying, you know, ask the question, is there a best one? And while I know you probably have multiple categories and things, so it really isn't a simple answer, but you know, when somebody says, okay, great, you've done all this work, so which one should I get? Is there an easy answer?
That's an interesting question. There is kind of no easy answer. There are several good models. You know, that we would be confident in recommending. One in the current issue that we're highlighting is the Canon PIXMA MG3620, not the most elegant model name out there, but it's about $40. It did very well in our ratings. You know, it's an all-in-one, so it's got a printer, you can scan, and our testers really liked it. It's, you know, $40 for a printer is quite affordable, and, you know, over time the ink is quite affordable as well. So that's one that we thought, you know, for most consumers, and again, we're writing for sort of the Main Street audience, you know, the everyday person. We thought that was a good model, the Canon PIXMA.
And of course, it's a lot more than just printers. You get into some really good detail if folks are looking for that perfect gift of maybe a laptop, Chromebook, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we you know, I sort of specialize in laptops. I write about them probably more than anything else nowadays, and it's the type of thing where, you know, if someone asks you, oh, what's a good laptop? The fact of the matter is that there are a lot of good laptops out there nowadays. That wasn't necessarily the case maybe 10 years ago where it was kind of Apple and then there was a lot of, you know, so PC laptops out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just sort of off the top of my head, you know, we really like the LG Gram for the past year or so. That is a Windows laptop. It comes in several different sizes, 13 inches and 17 inches. And what we like about this most, you know, kind of the hint is in the name, the Gram. It is very light. The big model, the 17-inch model, is only 2.9 pounds.
Wow.
Which is quite light. You know, you just slip that in a backpack or in a bag or anything, you'll barely know it's there. You know, we also like the MacBook Air is also a good choice, especially if, you know, you have a college-bound student. You know, a lot of colleges, they you know, Mac is cool, and, you know, a lot of software works with it quite well. So the MacBook Air is always a good choice. We also like the Dell XPS and the Microsoft Surface Pro. I know Microsoft just released the brand new Surface Pro 7. It's so new that we haven't actually finished testing it yet. I think we're going to wrap up testing this week, if I'm not mistaken. But all the Surface Pro devices, you know, in the past have done very well in our ratings. And, you know, that's a detachable, which means that you can remove the keyboard from the display and kind of use it like a tablet,
yeah.
You know, which is handy for watching, you know, YouTube or Netflix. Or, you know, just kind of lounging on the couch and kind of browsing the web. So I think the big idea here is that, you know, there are a lot of good laptops nowadays, and it's honestly a really good time to be in the market, because it is difficult to go wrong with so many good options out there, and they're all different prices. So, yeah, it's a great time to be looking for a laptop.
Yeah, we've been saying Microsoft finally got something right with their Surface Pro lines because, as you said, they are a good buy, a little on the expensive side of not as expensive as Macs, but you're going to get what you pay for. And what about Chromebooks? Have you had much success with some of those, especially as they relate to comparing them to Surface Pros?
Yeah, no, the Chromebooks are interesting because if you really only use, you know, kind of light services, if you browse the web, if you watch, you know, YouTube, if you're in Google Docs or things like that, you really don't need to spend, you know, $1,000 on a laptop. You can get by on a Chromebook, which, of course, a Chromebook uses Chrome OS, which is Google's operating system, which is basically a fancy version of the Chrome web browser.
Yeah.
And there are several models that kind of caught our eye. One was the Asus Chromebook Flip, which was a little bit more than $500, and that's a 2-in-1 convertible, which means that you can kind of bend the keyboard behind the display to also use it like a tablet. So, you know, if you were in the market for a tablet, maybe, if you were in the market for a laptop, maybe, these convertibles are quite useful because they kind of do both jobs. So that was a good model. There was another model that kind of caught our eye was the Acer Chromebook. That's about $230. That also did very well in our ratings. It's 14 inches. You know, if all you're doing is email, maybe paying the bills online, you know, if your laptop is pretty much just sitting in the corner and you use it when you need it, the Chromebook can be a very compelling option if you don't want to spend, you know, a ton of money on these things.
Nicholas, what I'd like to do is ask you to hold on just a second because we're going to pay a couple of bills. Come right back. Nicholas De Leon is the senior tech writer with Consumer Reports. As Into Tomorrow continues, I'm Dave Graveline here on the Advanced Media Network.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. Tips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
And we're back bringing you further Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, having a great conversation with senior tech writer for Consumer Reports, CR.org. They also win the prize for the easiest website. Nicholas De Leon, who's helping us not only pick laptops and Chromebooks and various and sundry other things, because there's great things that Consumer Reports does to review these things and give us that necessary info. But I wanted to pick your brain, Nicholas, on some of
those top tech gifts, especially for under $100. Because let's face it, most of us can't afford to go buy somebody a new $1,500 TV. That'd be nice, and I'll give you my address. But but I think a lot of people say, well, gosh, I would love to give tech. It's the best gifts always. But I want to give a lot to the family and friends. So what kinds of things should people be looking at where they can save money and still give people that big grin?
Yeah, that is a very good point, that a lot of, you know, these consumer electronics items can be on the pricey side, you know, whether you're talking phones or TVs or laptops, but there are some pretty good deals out there, you know, for less expensive items. And one sort of item that caught our eye this month was the JLab Audio, the JBuds Air. Now, these are true wireless earbuds, sort of similar to the Apple AirPods, where you just kind of pop them in your ear and sing them to your phone, and you've got totally wireless music. This was about $50, and it did very well in our ratings. You know, it's very hard to beat that price, $50 for a pair of true wireless earbuds.
For sure.
They sound very good. Very good deal, we thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't necessarily need wireless headphones, you can go for the Scotia Sportflex 3 headphones, which are $15. They also sound very good. And one other item I kind of wanted to highlight was the Amazon Fire 7. This is a 16-gigabyte tablet. You know, tablets are still useful. I feel like the tablet maybe had its day a couple years ago, but they're still great for, you know, watching Netflix, watching YouTube, you know, reading ebooks and kind of casual browsing the web. You know, you're sitting on the couch, very light games. They're still a ton of fun. $50 for a 7-inch tablet, which is a very good price. And, you know, Amazon, they make very good things, you know, reliable. They're not going to break on you. So it's a good buy, and we found that the battery was able to last about 8 hours.
Nice.
So you don't even have to worry about, you know, charging it or, oh, you know, it's going to die. 8 hours is pretty good for a tablet of this quality. So
For sure, and yet it's still the only category of products, and I've been saying this all the years we've been on the air, that always becomes better, various products and categories, for less money. Now, of course, early adopters, you're going to pay more. That's just the way it is. But everything else that you can think about for consumer electronics is always better in version 2 and 3 and whatnot, and less expensive. So don't hesitate to make those some of your great gift-giving scenarios there. And with these holidays upon us, budget-friendly gadget recommendations from Consumer Reports are always handy.
Yeah, thank you. And kind of the flip side of the idea of gadgets always getting better, that's kind of the beauty of this, is that we don't really see between generations of devices, you know, between last year's laptop and this year's laptop, there's generally not a huge jump in quality or difference or speed. So if you see a good deal on, say, last year's model laptop or even this year's model laptop, don't worry about, oh, next year is going to be even faster, it's going to be even better. You know, odds are next year is going to be even more expensive, and it'll be a little bit better. But if you find a good deal today on this year's model or even last year's model, again, you should jump on it, because you know, the year-to-year gap is not as big as it once was.
And one of the other things, Nicholas, I love about Consumer Reports is you list things like the most and least reliable brands. So it actually gives us that valuable input. You know, not only is it important that we want to get something, whatever it is, especially as it relates to consumer tech, that might be most reliable, but what to avoid. Because we might see a great price on something and say, oh my gosh, that's a great deal. Well, not so much. Hold on. You know, check out Consumer Reports first.
Of course, yeah. Generally, so, you know, the more popular brands, you know, the brands that you're aware of that have a big, you know, place in the market, they generally do pretty well. You know, we do see kind of like no-name tablets or laptops from kind of, you know, smaller companies you might not have heard of. Those generally don't do as well in terms of reliability. You know, they may be cheap and they may seem like a great deal, but, you know, if you buy a laptop this year and it breaks, you know, 8 months into its use, that's not good.
No.
But generally speaking, the bigger brands that you're familiar with tend to do pretty well in terms of reliability.
Well, Nicholas, we have got to get you back on again soon. You obviously have a passion for what you do, and that comes across very well. So visit cr.org, CR for Consumer Reports, obviously, .org, and we'll get you there, too, when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. Nicholas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Likewise.
The Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxatril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxatril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxatril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxatril has a special free bottle offer, shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxatril, call 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007.
To Dave and the rest of the Into Tomorrow team, congrats on 25 years of bringing us into tomorrow. Hope to keep hearing about the latest in technology for at least 25 more. Thanks, and take care, guys.
Thank you. Alex in Mexico. We're getting congratulatory notes from all around the world, and it warms the cockles of our very hearts. So thank you, Alex.
That would be Mexico.
Mexico. That's very true. Very good point. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by Dexcom. Always know where your glucose is headed and how fast. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Ray in Niagara Falls, New York, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast. Hello, Ray.
For years, I had DSL. I got one or two down, and finally switched over to cable, and I'm getting 118 down.
Woo.
But the computer don't seem that much faster. It's still real slow. I have a gateway computer. I'm connected to the internet by an Ethernet card. It's an Intel i5. I got 20 gigs of RAM, and I think it should do better than it's doing. I don't know what I'm doing wrong or if there's some settings that I can change.
Well, Ray, what is slow in your computer? If your internet connection still feels slow, you may have some other issue. For example, maybe a DNS, domain name server. It could be a DNS issue that is delaying pages from even starting to load. If the rest of your computer feels slow, then maybe your i5 processor is a 2010 i5 rather than a modern one.
And I would tend to believe that since you're saying you have a gateway computer. I don't know that gateway has really been making computers in a while.
No.
So those,
could be
that those
it's
are
just
probably older computers.
Yep.
But the computer does sound fast, and your connection does too. So our guess is that if you're achieving those download speeds, the bottleneck may be in finding the site that it needs to load so it can get the process going using the fast connection. That's why we'd check the DNS settings. There is software you could use to try to figure out which server would work best for you. For example, DNS Benchmark. But most people end up going with something more generic and typically performance like Google's DNS servers or OpenDNS.
Yeah. Ray, I hope we helped you. I know the frustration there, and it's good that you've had a very good increase. I mean, it's not a terabyte, but you're getting there. It's not a gigabyte, but you're getting there. And certainly a difference, as you've noticed, from one or two to 100 should make a difference, and therefore your computer should accept it too. Also, just make sure you just run all kinds of normal checks, defrag, and do everything else for your computer. If you can add a little RAM, if it still has some room for some RAM, that's always a refreshing thing to do, especially with an older computer, because it will, in fact, speed things up. But you may have other issues. Again, we talked about bottlenecks in finding the site. It may be some things that are just slowing things down in general. If you have any digital dilemmas that we can address for you, let us help you out. Anytime, 24/7, you can use our toll-free 800 number that Chris is about to give you, or even better, the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app.
That's 800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7,
Use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks. Available in your app store or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.